being that we are in the midst of what is effectively a lockdown for all of us nationwide and in a lot of ways worldwide, we're obviously doing things a little bit differently here on Sunday mornings. And because things are a little bit different than we normally would be doing them on Sunday, I'm actually going to take a detour away from where we have been studying in the previous weeks through the book of Deuteronomy. We will come back to the book of Deuteronomy, but just for the time being, I think we're going to jump around a little bit to some other texts. So if you are tuning in to Cross Connection Church for the very first time, you were invited by a friend or you saw something on social media, we wanted to welcome you to our broadcast. I'm Pastor Miles, the lead pastor here at Cross Connection Church. And as I said, we had been studying through the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, but being with all the things that are going on in the world, we're going to take a little bit of a detour. Last week, we jumped into the New Testament book of Philippians, and we went to Philippians chapter 4, where we read a really important message about the God of peace and the way that he is able to give us his peace that surpasses all understanding through trying circumstances and difficult times when we find ourselves anxious. And I know in talking with family members and talking with friends and talking with other people within the church and just listening to things that are happening in the news and around the world, I think there is a lot of anxiety right now. People are worried about not just the coronavirus, but really the effects of it upon the economy. People are worried about their job. People are worried about their income and worried about a lot of different things. And so that message in Philippians chapter 4, I think, is a really appropriate message. If you weren't able to hear it last week, you might want to go to our website, lifeinconnection.com, and you can find the archived message in the media section of our website. I think it might be an encouragement to you. So this week, I want to stay again in the book of Philippians, but I want to move from Philippians chapter 4 to Philippians chapter 1. So that's where we're going to be in a couple minutes. So if you have a Bible available, you might want to grab that. If not, you can always just get the YouVersion Bible app on your tablet or your phone and check that out. We'll be in the book of Philippians in a moment. But before we get there, I think it's probably helpful to do a little bit of a background on the text that we're going to be looking at this morning. The book of Philippians was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote some 2,000 years ago, and when he wrote this letter, he was basically on lockdown as well. When he wrote this letter to a church in the ancient city of Philippi, he was writing from a prison cell in Rome. Really not necessarily a prison cell at this moment. It's believed by a lot of people that he was kind of under house arrest. So you can kind of relate to the Apostle Paul because we have kind of been locked down to our homes as well at this moment. And not only was Paul in a similar situation to what we find ourselves in right now, but the church that he was writing to in the city of Philippi, they didn't really have a church building that they gathered together in every single week. They actually gathered together in their homes. So what you're doing right now, gathering for church in your home, is very similar, kind of, to what the people in the church at Philippi would have been doing 2,000 years ago. And I think that we can probably make a pretty sure bet that if the Apostle Paul had access to Zoom or YouTube Live or FaceTime, he probably would have used those technologies to be able to send a message to the church at Philippi, just as we are doing right here, trying to encourage you in the midst of the things that you are going through. So Paul was on lockdown. He was under house arrest. The church at Philippi was meeting for church in their homes. We kind of find ourselves in somewhat of a similar situation, so we can kind of identify with the Apostle Paul. I think that right now you may feel like you're a little bit bound up at home, can't go very far. Maybe you feel like some of your liberties have been taken away, that the liberties that we typically enjoy are kind of not there, and your immediate future might feel a little uncertain. The Apostle Paul was in a very similar situation 2,000 years ago. And so as we look at this text in the book of Philippians this morning, I do think that there are some encouraging things that God may want to minister to our hearts this morning. So as we look at this, there's a few things that I hope that we will be able to see together. First, though we might feel that we are bound up or that we don't have much in the way of liberties right now, it's important to recognize that the Word of God is not bound. God is doing a great work through his church and through his people right now, even though we're not able to gather together in person. We would love to be able to do that, and as soon as we can, we're going to do that. It would be great to be able to do that for Palm Sunday, which is just a week away, and Easter Sunday, which is 2 weeks away. We don't know exactly what the future holds. The future is a little uncertain, but though we don't have the liberty that we normally would enjoy, the Word of God is not bound. And God is doing a great work through His church. There are far more churches reaching the world through mediums like this right now online than there were just 3 weeks ago. In fact, last Sunday, I read a number of articles that church in the world kind of like broke the internet. They slowed the entire internet down because so many people were going online to listen or watch their churches as they were being live streamed. So that's pretty awesome. We actually were even a little bit concerned as we were doing our live stream last week because we were getting some messages that we didn't have the bandwidth that we needed to be able to get the message out on the live stream. But I think that's actually a good problem. It shows that the church is engaging culture where the culture is at. So though we may be bound, we may be chained, the Word of God is not bound. I think that's one of the things that we see in this text. Also, the uncertain and challenging circumstances that we find ourselves in right now, they can actually turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what Paul learned when he was in prison, when he was under house arrest, that though he was in a position where he couldn't go out and have the liberty that he once had, wherein he was preaching the gospel and planting churches, he found that the circumstances he was in actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And then the third thing that I hope that we'll see as we go through this short passage of scripture this morning is that in our moments of uncertainty, we need to remember that we have a certain and secure hope in Jesus Christ. That our hope is not in the things of this world, but our hope is in God. And so as we go through the text, I hope that that will encourage you as we look at these things. So with that in mind, would you take out your Bible or your Bible app, or even as you're watching on our live stream over on this side over here in the chat window, if you click on Bible, you can find a Bible app over there, and open to the New Testament book of Philippians right near the end of your Bible, chapter 1. I'm actually going to read a pretty significant passage here in Philippians chapter 1. It begins like this, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, they have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed to the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Would you pray with me? Lord, I just give this time that we have together this morning into your hands, and I pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding as we look through the scriptures together, as we consider these things together this morning. And even though we're not gathered together in the same location, that you, through this technology, you can speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. You don't need us to be in the exact same room. But as we are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of your church. And I pray, God, that you would comfort the hearts of your church and that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit, that you would join us together in worship as we gather around your word here, that you would teach us. And Lord, we pray for those that might be tuning into the broadcast this morning who maybe have never heard the book of Philippians taught before, who maybe have never been in a church building, but this is kind of their first engagement with Cross Connection Church. I pray, God, that you would speak by your Spirit to people's hearts and draw people to yourself during this kind of extenuating circumstance. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've been a part of Cross Connection Church for any length of time, you've probably heard me quote Philippians before, because Philippians happens to be my favorite book in all of the Bible. In pretty much every one of the short four chapters of Philippians, I have verses that are memory verses that are near and dear to my heart. Several of them we just read in this passage in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And my favorite verses in all of Scripture are found in Philippians chapter 2, which we may get into a little bit next week. But this book is just filled with encouragement and joyful hope from the Apostle Paul and from the Lord ultimately. So I would encourage you, if you never have read through the book of Philippians, it probably would only take you about 20 minutes to read through the four chapters of this book. Just set aside some time today or this week. You may have some extra time because of everything that's going on, and read through it. And if you have any questions as you're going through Philippians, make sure that you text them to us at 760-814-1223. And Pastor Mark and I, we will answer those on the Questions Podcast this week. Just go to thequestionspodcast.com and you can listen to our answers there. But text your questions if you have anything. So this book, like all of Paul's letters, opens very similarly. As you read through the New Testament, 13 of the New Testament books, and the New Testament is the last third of the Bible, but 13 of the New Testament books were written by the Apostle Paul, and every single one of them begins with this same greeting that we find there in verse 2, where Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This was kind of a standard greeting of the apostles in the early church. We see even John, the Apostle John, and the Apostle Peter uses it as well. And I just want to greet you with the same thing this morning. Even though there's a distance separating us, just like there was with Paul when he wrote this letter from the city of Rome 2,000 years ago to the city of Philippi in the place of Macedonia, there was a distance that separated them, but he writes to them and he says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you." And so that would be my prayer for you as well this morning. Through all the things that we're going through right now and the stress that seems to be weighing upon people, may God's grace and God's peace be multiplied to you in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on, again, one of my favorite verses, verse 3, Philippians chapter 1. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And I can tell you that myself and the other pastors and staff and elders and many of those people who are on our prayer team here at the church, that has certainly been the case for us over the last several weeks, that we are thanking the Lord upon every remembrance of you. And I would encourage you to maybe establish or develop the same pattern in your life. It seems that Paul had established a pattern in his life that when people would randomly come to his mind, when he would think about them, he would stop what he was doing and he would focus prayer in their direction. He would lift them up to the Lord. In another place in the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul gives a very small exhortation, a command. Really, he says, "Pray without ceasing." And so there's the exhortation of Scripture that we should pray continuously. And one way that you can make a small step towards being a person who prays consistently and continuously and without ceasing is to maybe develop this habit in your life that when someone randomly comes to your mind, that you would pause for even just 3 seconds or 10 seconds. I mean, how long does it really take to lift someone up to the Lord in prayer? Not very long. But I would suggest that maybe it's not so random that those people come to your mind. And so when Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you," I would just encourage you to develop this new pattern in your life during this period of time right now, where when someone comes to mind, maybe lift them up to the Lord in prayer, and you will be a little bit closer to fulfilling the command of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. And then Paul says there in verse 6, as he's thinking about his friends who are there in the city of Philippi, in a church that Paul initially was the one who established, he says, as I pray for you, verse 6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul, in his prayers, he prayed with confidence in the working of God. Which brings me this morning to my first point. Point number one, we can be confident that God is doing a good work by our prayers. This is such an encouragement to me, that we can have a sure and steadfast confidence that God is doing a good work by our prayers. As we lift up our prayers to the Lord, we can trust that he is doing those things. Now, am I the only one during this time that's felt a little bit frustrated over the last couple of weeks because of this lockdown? Maybe you can relate to me in this. I have to admit, I have to confess to you that I have felt a little stir crazy. I felt a little frustrated because I'm one of those people that constantly feels like I need to be doing something. I need to be accomplishing something. And I have a lot of things that I need to do. I have a lot of things that I need to get done. And so I feel this pressure that I should be doing so many different things. And I'm sure that you can relate to me that when everything gets put on pause and our government and many of the officials in our, you know, municipalities are saying, hey, we want you guys to stop moving around and stop going to work. And for some of you, that's not possible, but school is on hold. So my four kids, who they normally go to school every single morning this time of year, they're at home. And it's really changed the dynamic of everything in our household. And so a lot of the things that I had on my list of things to do, my calendar, have really been put on hold. And it's been challenging. It's been somewhat frustrating for me. And so I can, in some ways, feel like I am a little bit ineffective. And so in lockdown 2020, that has been kind of a stress for me. But Paul the Apostle, he had learned an important lesson 2,000 years ago in the lockdown that he was in. You see, this guy who wrote this letter, he was what we might describe as an extremely high capacity leader. I think if there was a personality test that he could have been given 2,000 years ago, he would definitely have been one of those type A personality people. It was a high capacity, get it done, very productive guy. The 15 years before Paul was in this situation, he had spent those 15 years traveling around the entire known world of his day, teaching and preaching and planting churches. I mean, this guy went to every major region of the world of his day, to all the major capital cities, and sought to preach the gospel and plant churches. Whether it was in a city like Philippi, which was the capital of the region of Macedonia, or it was the city of Athens, or the city of Corinth, two of the largest cities in Greece, or the largest city in Asia Minor, which was Ephesus, or ultimately in the city of Rome, everywhere Paul went, he wanted to preach the gospel and he wanted to plant churches, and he had been very effective in that. But about 3 years before he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul was arrested for his faith in Christ. As he was preaching the gospel, there was a group of people that did not like the things that he had to say, so he was put on lockdown. And in the previous 3 years leading up to the writing of this letter, he had been under lockdown. And in the midst of that, this highly productive guy, he was placed in a place where he could not go about freely. He did not have the liberty to go from city to city preaching the gospel and teaching the good news of Jesus and planting churches. Now he found himself on lockdown. And what's amazing to me is that some of his most effective and productive and impactful, long-term impactful work was accomplished while he was on lockdown. Many of Paul's most important letters in the Bible were written while Paul was in lockdown. The letter to the church at Ephesus, the letter to the church at Philippi, the letter to the church of Colossae, the letters to Timothy, the letters to Titus, or the letter to Titus. These letters were written while Paul was imprisoned. And we can be confident, and Paul had learned this confidence, that God was doing a good work through prayer in the midst of the things that he was going through. And so, speaking of prayer, what were the specifics of the prayer that Paul prayed? Because in Philippians 1 verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, I'm making requests with joy to the Lord for you, being confident that he's going to work in you. Well, What were the specifics of his prayer? Again, if you have your Bible, look at verse 9, Philippians 1, 9. And this I pray, this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. So Paul prayed a number of things for the church at Philippi. And I would encourage you to go and read these verses in the various English translations, because it gives a lot of amplification about what is meant by some of these things that Paul is praying for. If you read in the English Standard Version or the New Living Translation or the New King James Version, read from different versions, you find that Paul prays like five things for the church, the Christians in the city of Philippi. He prays that they would abound in love. I mean, that's a great prayer. Jesus, before he was crucified and some of the last conversations he had with his disciples, he told them that they were to love one another as I have loved you, and they will know that you are my followers, my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. And so Christians are to be known for the way that they love one another and the way that they love others in the world, and especially for the way that they love God. And so Paul prayed for the church at Philippi, a church that he had planted. And he says, my prayer is that you would abound in love, that love would grow in your life. And you can be certain that that's one of my prayers for myself. That's my prayer for the people that I serve Jesus with here at Cross Connection Church. And that's my prayer for the church as a whole, that our love would abound. Second thing that he prays for the church at Philippi is that they would grow in understanding, in knowledge and understanding. And I certainly, as a pastor, that is my prayer for the people that I pastor and teach. And I not only have the privilege of pastoring and teaching here at Cross Connection Church, but I've had the privilege of teaching all over the world at conferences and leadership retreats and teaching at Bible colleges. And my prayer constantly is that you, the saints, the followers of Jesus, would be thoroughly equipped for every good work, that you would grow in knowledge and understanding. His third prayer was that they would come to know what really matters. You know, I've been thinking lately, what are some of the good things that are coming out of this crisis that we find ourselves in, where we can't be doing the things we normally do? And I know that typically when someone asks me, hey, Miles, how are you doing? My typical response is, I'm busy. And I find that a lot of other people, they answer the same thing. I say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy, so busy. We feel this pressure to always be busy in our culture. And now all of a sudden, we're not busy. And all the things that we thought were exceedingly important, we have a chance to really examine how important those things are. All the things that people get so bound up in, politics, this is a campaign season, pretty much all of that has been put on hold. Sports, there are no sports to watch on Sunday morning. And maybe you have kids that have been involved in traveling sports. There's no traveling sports. This last week was Major League Baseball's opening day, and it stopped. I just found out that the Summer Olympics are postponed till probably next year. I mean, this is a totally weird time. I don't think there's been anything like this ever in the world, and we're going to be talking about this for a very long time, and should history continue for a long time in the future, they will talk about 2020 and all the things that happened worldwide in 2020. But it gives us a chance to really think about what is really important? What really matters? And so Paul's prayer for the church was that they would come to know what really matters. And my prayer for you during this time is maybe you would do some self-examination and really start to consider what are the things that actually matter. I read a great article this morning in Wall Street Journal that was saying that there's a lot of people who are thinking this might lead some people to return to faith in Jesus and to return to the church. And it certainly is one of my prayers as a pastor. I'm praying for God to pour out his spirit in our day, in our nation, through all the things that are happening. And it's in times like this that people really start to question meaning and value and what really matters. And Paul's prayer was that they would come to know what really matters. The fourth thing that he was praying for them was that they would become more pure and more sincere. Man, what a great prayer, that there would be a purity that would be developed in the lives of these people, a simplicity. That's another way to think about purity. And not only that they would have a purity and a simplicity, but a sincerity, that the way that they interact with people would be without fluff, without fakery, if you will, that they would be genuine in the way that they interacted with people. And then fifth, he prays that their lives would produce the fruits of righteousness, that their lives would show the things that are right before God and before other people. So those five things are really good things. And if you're ever wondering how you should pray for the people in your life, that might be a good pattern, just to simply go through these verses in Philippians chapter 1 and pray for people in this way. Well, Paul's prayer in this passage, he prays for them that all these things would be built in their lives ultimately for the glory and praise of God. It brings us to point number two. Oftentimes, God's greatest work is that which he accomplishes in us and not that which he accomplishes by us. You know, a lot of times we are thinking about God's working in the form of what he might use us to do in the world. But a lot of times God's greatest work is actually what he's accomplishing in us. I'm often one of those, you know, people that wants to be very productive. And I feel that I'm a highly productive person. And I get frustrated when things are not getting done. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to accomplish great things in the world. But I think one of the greatest things that God wants to accomplish is the transformation that he does in us, the way he changes us more and more into the likeness of his children. And some of the most important things that he wants to do are the things he wants to do in you. And I would say during this time where we are kind of put on a forced Sabbath, it might be a moment for you to stop and say, Lord, is there something you want to teach me? Is there something you want to do in me during this period of time? Because mark this really important truth. Point number three on your outline. God's work in us will result in greater glory and praise to his name. The work that God wants to do in you is going to bring him glory. What do I mean by that? Well, when God makes you more loving, when he makes you more kind, when he makes you more genuine and sincere, when he makes you more patient or more righteous, he gets the glory for all of those things in your life. And those are the things that God wants to develop in us. In another one of Paul's letters, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And he mentions things like love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control. These are the things that God wants to work in you and in me. He wants these to become a part of our lives. And when these things are a part of our lives, they point to him. Where does love, joy, peace, patience come from? It comes from God. And when people see those things in our lives, it brings him glory and praise. So Paul continues, verse 12, Philippians chapter 1. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me, what things? Well, a few years before Paul was writing this letter, he found himself in the city of Jerusalem. And as he was there, a riot kind of broke out around him, a whole bunch of people that didn't like him. And he was ultimately arrested. And while he was arrested in that whole situation, there was a group of Jewish individuals who couldn't stand him. And they had covenanted together. They had joined together in an oath that they were going to kill him. And they would not eat until they killed him. And so the Romans who had arrested him, they heard about this and they ship him down to the coastal city there in Philippi in Israel. Caesarea in Israel. And there he stayed for a couple of years waiting on trial and just waiting to figure out what was going to happen. All of those things that seemed like such a distressing, terrible, horrible situation, not ideal. Paul says, I want you guys to know, no doubt the people who heard the news about what had happened to Paul in Jerusalem and then in Caesarea and then in Rome, they were concerned for him. And he says, I want you to know that all those things have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So, verse 13, that it has become evident to the whole palace guard, all the people that are watching me in this whole situation, it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains, my being in this situation, in lockdown, they are in Christ. I'm not here for any real crime, only because I'm a follower of Jesus. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. You know, one of my prayers for our church in the midst of this situation that we are in is that it would stir us to be a little bit more bold in sharing our faith with other people. And that boldness might be as simple as sending this video to another friend or family member or inviting them to come and watch this online with you in the next service, whatever it may be. But my prayer is that God would raise up his church, that we would be a little bit more bold during this period of time. And so as Paul was on lockdown, as he was imprisoned, as he was under house arrest, not in an ideal situation, he understood this important truth. Point number four on your outline. Sometimes God's work is furthered more through challenging circumstances than in easygoing times. And this can be really hard for us because I would rather things be easy and not challenging or difficult. But a lot of times the work that God wants to accomplish in and through our lives is furthered more through the challenging circumstances. This has certainly been my own observation in my life and the lives of others who are close to me. But sometimes his work is furthered more through challenging circumstances than through the easygoing times. And I think it's really important for us to remember when we find ourselves in challenging circumstances, like you may be going through right now, we need to recognize that God understands what he is doing, even when we do not understand all the details of what he is doing. He knows what he's doing. He is working a work in the midst of the situations that we find ourselves in. And Paul had learned to gain perspective. He had learned to be able to step back to get the bigger picture of all the things that were going on. And even when the bigger picture included people that Paul knew purposefully trying to make things more challenging for him. If you read the verses there, verses 15 through 18 of Philippians chapter 1, apparently there was a group of people who called themselves Christians who were trying to make Paul's time in prison all the more difficult, speaking against him and gossiping against him, all these sort of things. And in the midst of that, Paul had learned, he had gained perspective that even in that, God is able to work. And he says, I can rejoice whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and in that I will even rejoice. So don't miss this important fact that God is presently working in our challenging circumstances. Pardon me, whatever challenging circumstance you might find yourself in, maybe it has nothing to do with this lockdown, maybe it has nothing to do with coronavirus, it has to do with something in your own personal family or what, I don't know what it is, but in whatever circumstance you're in, I want you to know, based on what I know of God and what I know of the scriptures, that God wants to do a work in us, being confident of this very thing, that he who began that good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so Paul wraps this passage up by saying this in Philippians 1, verses 19 through 21. For I know that this whole situation that he's in and the prayers that the people at the church of Philippi are lifting up to the Lord for him, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation, my total anticipation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Those are truly powerful words. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul had the right heavenly perspective, that if he was going to be here in this world, he was going to live as an ambassador for Jesus, boldly, confidently sharing the gospel with as many people as he possibly could. But if he died, he says that would be gain because I will be with the Lord in heaven. Brings me to my fifth and final point. The temporary challenges in the life of the Christian are a reminder that eternal glory awaits. Listen, if you're a Christian this morning and you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, according to his promise in the scripture, he has promised that you will be with him forever in paradise, in a new heaven and a new earth. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I think with all the things that are causing us to be a little anxious and stressed during this period of time, this is a really important reminder for Christians that our hope, our joy is not ultimately in this life. There are a lot of wonderful things and joy-producing things that we can experience in this life. Our spouses, our kids, our families, you know, all kinds of wonderful things we can enjoy. But ultimately, our hope and our joy is not in this life. And when we go through challenging circumstances, these challenging circumstances can help us to really think about the things that actually matter. And the challenges that we face in this life, they are always temporary. Even if they were to last your entire lifetime, they are always temporary. And they are reminding the Christian of their eternal glory. In another one of Paul's letters in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." In another one of his letters in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." As I close up our time in the scriptures today, I want to encourage you to look at the things that are not seen, to look at the things that are eternal. Look beyond all the things that are happening in Washington, beyond all the things that are happening in Sacramento or all the other places of power, Belgium, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the World Banks, wherever it is. Look beyond those things to those things that are unseen, to those things that are eternal. Because for the Christian, The person has put their faith in Jesus Christ and has received the free gift of forgiveness and grace and salvation from Jesus. We look forward to eternal glory. Now, with that said, I have to speak for just a moment to those of you who might be tuning in this morning who maybe you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I would have to say to you, I want to encourage you as a follower of Jesus to believe on him, to call out to the Lord, to simply pray to him. Prayer is just speaking to God and say, God, would you reveal yourself to me through your word, by your Holy Spirit, and would you reveal to me the truth of the gospel? What is the truth of the gospel? That Christ, 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the perfect God-man, died on the cross in your place, in my place, to bear my sin and my shame. He died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, on what we celebrate as Easter, or what we like to call Resurrection Sunday, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And after that, he ascended into heaven, and he sent his disciples, his followers, to go into all the world to preach, to proclaim the good news of salvation from sin and death through Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ today, to maybe consider doing that. And if you would like to do that, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer where you will, you know, acknowledge that you are a sinner, confess your belief in Jesus Christ, confess your sins, and ask him to come into your life and to cleanse you from your sins. So if that's you and you'd like to do that today, would you just pray with me right now where you're at? And if you're already a believer, you can just pray for those who maybe are hearing this message that are not yet putting their faith in Jesus right now. So would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I do ask that you would come into my life, that you would forgive me of my sin, that you would help me to follow you by faith and to trust you with my life. Save me from my sin and help me to follow you. In Jesus' name. God, I pray right now for anybody who's listening to our live broadcast or maybe watching this months from now on an archive. We just pray, God, that you would do a great work in our nation, in our world, as there are literally thousands of churches that have never been trying to reach out online that now are reaching out to our culture. And this is really where our culture is today. Our culture is online. And most certainly, if the Apostle Paul was alive today, he would be doing Zoom meetings and he would be doing YouTube Live and all these sorts of things. So God, we just ask that you would use your church to share the good news of the gospel with those people who have yet to hear. And we ask, God, that you would bring a great awakening, not just in the United States, but throughout the whole world, that there are people in every place who need to hear the good news of the gospel. And we ask, God, that you would draw people to yourself and you would do a work, because we are confident of this very thing, that you are working in this world and you will be faithful to fulfill and complete that work until the day that you return. And until you return, would you help your church to be faithful in following you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.